Jonah was a legitimate prophet. He was not a Judas, but he was also not a Jesus. Jonah was just like one of us, a child of God, operating, and he was really a prophet. He prophesied that Jeroboam would restore the walls, the borders, that is, of Israel. In the book of 2 Kings, it's recorded, Jonah prophesied that, and it happened. But there came a place in Jonah's life where God expressed his will to Jonah, and Jonah rebelled, personally rebelled against the manifest will of God for his life, and it can happen to any Christian. And not only can it happen, often it does happen, and we just don't admit it. And so let me say this before we jump into it. To get anything out of this message today, or really to be able to grow in your sanctification, you have got to be honest with yourself. If your preference is to deceive yourself just a little bit to get by, God will let you deceive yourself, and he'll let you walk in that self-deception. But to grow, you have to be honest and see yourself in all the Bible stories in the lowest moral position, and then you are looking at yourself accurately. Many of us have an exalted view of ourselves, and the best thing to do is to knock that down and see yourself for what you really are, and it's easier to grow. It's easier to just admit your faults. If you got faults, just admit your faults, and God can help you to grow out of them. But if you lie about it, the scripture says a liar will not tarry in his sight. And so the book of Jonah, let's begin with reading the first couple of verses of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for, the depth of knowledge and wisdom that we can extract from your word that you put there purposely for us. That, Lord, in our growth as sons and daughters of God, that we might extract the nutritious meat of the word and that we might grow thereby. Now, we'd ask you today, Lord, that you would anoint this word, anoint my lips to speak it, and anoint the ears and the hearts of your people to receive it. Lord, that it might bring us into closer compliance to your will and to your way. And Father, as people give today for the work of the ministry here in the worship room and across the online experience, I ask you to bless those lives, bless those families, the individuals. Return it upon them in such a way that they know that the hand of God is upon them for good. We pray it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. This means that God expressly sent his word to Jonah, not through another person. The Holy Spirit put the reality of the word right on Jonah's heart. This is what I want you to do. When you and I, when we receive the word of God like that, you have received the will of God for you. His word is his will. And so God sent his will to Jonah, telling him exactly what he wanted him to do. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. Now, we have to understand what this really means. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria of that day. Assyria was not a Jewish nation. They were very anti-Jew. It would be like a Jew from Israel today going to Iran, and crying out against Iran. That's where Assyria of old was. It's where Iran is at. It would just not go over good with the Iranians. And this is the case with Jonah. God was sending him to a certain death. Unless God held him up, he would never return from this. And so immediately Jonah began to rebel against it. And there are times that you and I, God expresses something for us that we don't really want. We don't like it, we don't want it, and we conclude, I will have none of that. It's exactly the same as Jonah. Now, Jonah's parallel in the New Testament is the prodigal son, a person who left the will of the father, went out and found a hog pen before he realized the will of the father was better. And how many here has ever just rebelled against God and found out the will of God is better? Amen is better. I found out the hard way. It was difficult for me. But God does that on purpose because he says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard on purpose, so it's like putting your hand on a hot stove. It burns you to let you know, take your hand off the stove. And so the way of God can be, rebellion against God can be difficult to let us know, turn around and comply. So he says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out for it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, God has expressed his will. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He told him, arise and go to Nineveh. Verse 3 says, Jonah did rise up, but he rose up in rebellion. He didn't rise and do what God said. He rose up and did the opposite of what God said. Joppa was the other direction of Nineveh. So Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. Here it is, from the presence of the Lord. This is a danger for every Christian, is that when a personal rebellion expresses itself, we allow it to express itself in our life, we are moving away from the perfect will of God to something else. And the scripture says iniquity is unto iniquity, meaning that you don't just rebel and stay right there. It means that it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's like a child that's grown up to be 13, 14 years old begins to rebel against his mother and father and won't come into compliance with what they're trying to tell them to do. It gets worse and worse and worse. First, they get picked up being drunk. And they have to get them out of jail. And then maybe later on, they're involved in something else. And now they're in prison. And things get worse and worse and worse because of rebellion against God's way. Now, you and I are not like the world. The world can go out and rebel and do whatever they want to. Those are not God's kids. Those are Adam's kids. But if you're saved today, if you're born again, you're a child of God, and God won't let you go. He will not, just like a good parent and that child is cutting up, that parent didn't just say, well, do what you want to. That parent brings out the switch, brings out the belt, brings out some type of punishment to try to get that child to do what's right. And God will take the whip of his word and he will whip his children to try to get them back into compliance. And if that doesn't work, he will reach out and put his hand on your reality. He will touch your reality and that will get your attention. Please believe me. I've been through it more than once. It is not pleasant. But God loves you and he'll do whatever that it takes to make sure that we grow in Christ and that we make it to our final reward. Jonah rose up to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and he went down to Joppa. Now, I want you to catch something here. God said, arise, go to Nineveh. Jonah rose up in rebellion and went to Joppa. And the first thing that happened is he went down to Joppa. Do you see that? Verse 3, Jonah rose up about halfway down the verse, and then he went down to Joppa. Whenever you and I rise up in rebellion, we're losing our position with God. We're going down. The only way that you and I can ever stay up is for God to hold us up. And if you're in rebellion against him, he can't hold you up like that, and we go down. Jonah went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof. Now, this is kind of humorous, but you and I have done the same thing. Jonah took his own money and bought his own problems. How many's ever done that? I've done it. Took my own money, hard-earned, worked hard for it, and bought my own misery with it. So he paid the fare thereof, and here it is again, he went down into it to go to them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, whenever personal rebellion, we allow it to express itself in our walk, we're always going to find that it limits and hinders the presence of God in our life. See, it's wonderful, and it's God's will for us to always be walking in his presence, full of grace, just happy in the Holy Ghost. But personal rebellions, some, we can call it sin if you want to, it causes the presence of God to not be able to be as full in our lives. And Jonah, he went down, and he was purposely running from the presence of God. And let me say this to you, you can't get away from God. You can run as fast as you can run. I'm telling you, you cannot get away. David said, if I ascend into the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, you are there. God is too tall, you can't get over him. He's too deep, you can't go under him. He's almighty, you can't go around him. You have to deal with him. And you have to allow him to deal with you. Verse 4 says, now, Jonah, he's got his money. He paid his ticket. He's running. I got to get away from God before he sends me to Nineveh. Verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind. He sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, notice that it said the Lord sent. The devil didn't send this wind. This was not a coincidence or a happenstance. This was God Almighty telling the wind, go stop that preacher right there. He's running. Stop him right there. And I'm preaching that to tell you, God will stop you. He'll allow you a moment of time to recover yourself and to realize, man, I need to repent and get back to God. But sooner or later, he'll stop that preacher right there and bring them back here. He won't just let you go. And especially if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got the Holy Ghost whether you want him or not. You can go out there and get drunk. You can go out there and live wild. The Holy Ghost will go right down beside that liquor, telling you the whole time, I'm married to a backslider. But he won't let you go. He will hold you. Look how long Jesus held on to Judas. Even in the last moments, he was reaching out for Judas, trying to gain his soul. Personal rebellion. It's a danger for every last one of us, and it's not that far away from our current lives. I'm sure each one of us can look at our own lives. Here's your personal rebellion. It's whatever the Holy Ghost is dealing with you about. If he had to deal with you about that more than two or three times, it's because you're in rebellion. Am I making it too plain? It's all of us have this in different areas of our life. It doesn't have to just be drinking and smoking and committing adultery. There's other areas, more difficult areas than those big sins. Here's one of mine. I weigh 183 pounds. I'm sorry, 186 pounds. My perfect weight is 183, 180 to 183. That's where I really need to be at. My dietary preferences would have me at 196. And I never wake up the same weight all the time. It's either moving up or it's moving back down. And this happens because I know good and well, you know, when you're eating two helpings of potato chips and chasing it with a handful of gummy bears, you know that's not God's will. Now, we all find this humorous because all of us deal with this. This is something all of us deal with. But here's what we have to understand. God has convicted me. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then you know what the next verse says? If any man defile the temple, God will destroy him. And many times we have a storm going on in our life. We don't realize, where does diabetes come from? Well, you've been eating garbage. Man, it got quiet in here. Where's all this bad health coming from? I know some people just have a proclivity to have different diseases. I understand that, but all of us shouldn't have it. And it's because we have these little personal rebellions against God's perfect will for our life, and we don't see how it's causing a storm in other areas of our life, and we just get used to living in the storm, not realizing if we would just repent and say, I got to do better, the storm would cease. It says, but the Lord sent this great wind into the sea. And again, the purpose of this wind was God wanted to stop that preacher in his tracks. You will go no further. That's as far as you're going to run right there. I'm not going to let you go any further. See, the thing is, you and I have to understand, God's not going to let you live your own life. No, when you got saved, you gave your life to Jesus Christ. It's his life now. You have been bought with a price. You are no more your own. You have to see yourself as a purchased possession. You belong to God. And God wants to take care of that which is his. It means that our lives have to be clean. Our minds have to be clean. Our whole existence has to be clean. That when you and I was running with Satan, Satan's like a rat. Just the nastier you can be, the better Satan likes it. But when we come to God, we have to come clean. And his Holy Spirit is there to clean us up, to clean all those filthy places out of our lives that we don't like to talk about. All the areas that we just show our moral weakness. How many can just admit, man, I can be weak sometimes. There are sometimes I can be like a mighty man of God and turn right around and be weak. And we just have to admit, this is what I am. I don't only apologize to God for what I do. I apologize to God for what I am. And I need Christ to strengthen me. And you need Christ to strengthen you. And the Lord sent this great wind. Jump to verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him. Now the ship is in a storm. The sailors and the shipmen, they're trying to save the ship. The storm is so ravaging that the ship is about to go under. So the shipmaster came to him, to Jonah, and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." So everybody on the ship, they're all Gentiles. They're calling on their false idols and their false gods. And Jonah's down in the bottom of the ship asleep. Because when you leave the presence of God, a spiritual slumber comes over your mind. You begin to not have the discernment that you used to have. But here's what really gets me. This Gentile shipman comes down and says, "Jonah, wake up, man. Everybody else is calling on God." And he tells them the same thing God told them: arise, get up. Have you ever been spiritually rebuked by an unbeliever? And they don't even know it. They just say something, but the conviction is so bad because you know that you're out of the will of God. Well, this is what happened to Jonah. "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Verse 9. And he, Jonah, they're trying to figure out why they can't control this storm, why they can't take possession of the ship. Verse 9 says, "And he, Jonah, said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." He's confessing, not so much in the scripture, but it's implied, that he's a Hebrew. He serves mighty Jehovah, and he's running from God. That's why this situation has come upon him. Now, isn't it amazing that he's running from the presence of God, but he says, "I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord." He fears him, but he won't serve him. And I think there's many Christians that fall into that category. I love Jesus. I fear the Lord, but I don't want that part of his will for my life. Now, we might not actually say it, but we live it. We live that out. Verse 11 says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, verse 12, "Take me and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon us." Now, here's a lesson to all those who are not currently in a personal rebellion. Or let me say it this way. All those who are not currently in a storm of reprimand, where God has allowed a storm to happen in our life. As Christians, we are to display love and kindness to people that are around us. We all understand that and know that. But you need to have enough discernment to know whether that person needs help because they need help, or is the hand of God upon them for punishment? Because if the hand of God is upon them, you need to get out of God's way. Because these men are in a storm because of Jonah. And it says here in verse 12, "Take me up and cast me forth so shall the sea be calm unto you? For I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon us. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. So Jonah is saying that you got to get rid of me and the problem will go away. But they're saying, no, we're going to be a blessing to you. We're going to help you. And so when God's hand is on somebody for judgment, if you get in the way, that same judgment falls on you. So you need to have some discernment. I'm not saying that you don't help people. I'm saying you acknowledge God first. I'm saying you pray, you make sure that's the will of God. Let me say something. It's not God's will to give a crack addict money. That's quiet. That was really quiet. I used to be a crack addict. I'm telling you, it's not good to give a crack addict money. No matter what their lie is, because they're going to go straight to the crack house. And you are just helping them do evil. And so you have to have some discernment to see, is this a situation that God wants me to get involved in? We have in our foreign missions in Pakistan and Philippines and even in Africa, I get calls sometimes from those that we support. Hey, we need this. Hey, this happened in our society. We need this. Like the floods that just occurred in Pakistan. We need help in this area. Well, we don't have the resources to, we're not God. We can't make every problem go away. And so I have to exercise discernment. And I have to exercise approaching the Lord to see, what do you want us to do in this situation? Is it nothing or is it something? But if we just said, hey, we're just going to be loving and help everybody. We're just going to bless everybody. Well, we'd be bankrupt. We wouldn't be able to pay the lights. Nevertheless, the men could rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. When God's hand is upon somebody, you can't move it. You can't take his hand off of somebody. As a matter of fact, if God's hand is on you for judgment, you can't make him move it. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He was the king. I mean, he was the king almost like of the whole known world of that day. But when God's judgment fell on him and caused his hair to grow out like feathers and his fingernails like claws, couldn't nobody, including the king, take the hand of God on him until seven seasons had passed, until 7 years had ended. And so when somebody's got their hand, when God's got their hand on somebody for judgment, the best thing you can do is back away and let God handle his business. I'll give you a good analogy of this. How many have siblings? Siblings, when you grew up, siblings? There was six of us. And sometimes one of us would get a spanking, because there were spankings were good in those days. They're still good. They're still good. Train up the child. You know, the scripture says, beat the child, he shall not die. That's the scripture. When thou beatest him with a rod, thou deliverest his soul from hell. But one of us would get a spanking, and all the rest of us would become angels. We would just transform into angels on the spot. Well, that's how we need to be when we see God's hand, when we see God spanking one of his children. We need to just back up. We don't want none of that smoke. Just back up. Let God handle his business. Verse 14. Wherefore they cried to the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life's sake, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, the Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now, this seems very harsh to us, doesn't it? They took this man in the middle of a storm where the ship wasn't even safe, and they threw him overboard into the water. But get this, that was the will of God for Jonah under judgment. And God was waiting for him, because the next verse said, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, Jesus said that fish was a whale. So these men took Jonah, threw him out into a raging typhoon, threw him overboard. And it says God had prepared a fish. That means that this fish had been born by the will of God to be in this place at this time, so that when Jonah went over, the fish's mouth is open. Boom. He never even hit the water. Just boom, just straight into the fish's mouth. Listen, when God has got his hand on a person for judgment, There's nothing you can do. You've got one option, that's repent. None of us are stronger than God. None of us. And sometimes it seems like our little personal rebellion, like it's not really that much. It's not that big a deal. But God puts his hand on you to let you know it is a big deal. And you may say, well, I don't think so. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your preference is. You take this group out here now that's saying, well, I prefer to identify as the opposite biological sex. It don't matter. God don't care what you identify with. And you see little by little, these people are slap going crazy. They're losing their minds. And we look at it and we say, my God, what is happening? It's exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. It's exactly what's happened to millions of people down through the time. You cannot mock God. Now, I just mentioned that as one of the sins in society now. But that's not the only thing that is outside of the will of God, especially in the household of God. These little be things in all of our lives. See, that is not the will of God for us. He doesn't want us involved in some things. And God is so long-suffering and so kind that sometimes he gives us a space of time to repent. Repent in that space of time. Don't wait until his hand comes upon you in judgment. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now here's something you have to just kind of let your imagination help you to see what this would be like. First of all, he's in the middle of fish guts. They don't smell pleasant. That's where he's at. Fish don't swim on the top of the ocean. They go down in the water. And the deeper they go, the greater the water pressure becomes. And so the pressure over these 3 days is increasing on Jonah, more and more pressure. And when you and I are running from God, backslidden, out of alignment with God, the pressure continues to build and build and build, not to destroy you, but to provoke you to say, I've got to turn my heart around. I've got to come to myself and go back to my Father. He loves you. He loves me. He won't let us get away. He doesn't want to hurt us. He doesn't want to have to rebuke us and judge us. But he'll do whatever that it takes to bring you safely to the shores of heaven. And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in there for 3 days and three nights. And I don't have time to read through it all, but after 3 days, Jonah said, Lord, I repent. Said, I repent, I will get right. And the fish spit him out on the bank. Soon as he said, I repent, I will do whatever you say, the fish put him out in a safe place. The Bible goes on to say that Nineveh was a 3 days journey. And Jonah made it in one day. Because when God puts his hand on you, you'll get in a hurry to serve God. You know, there was a time as a young Christian, I was playing around, half-stepping with God and playing around. But after him allowing me to fall into a crack cocaine addiction for 7 years, I served the God. I mean, I dot every I, I cross every T. With my whole heart and my whole life, I serve him with everything that I am. I'm not just a churchgoer. I live for God every second of the day. I'm pushing for Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants for all of us, to be consumed with the things of God. So here's the last point that I want to make. This all started because God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and serve me. I want you to serve me in this way. Jonah rebelled and he went another direction and brought this horrible situation upon himself. Finally, he repented of it. And he begins to do the will of God. And if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, he's been spit out on the land. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go unto Nineveh. It means what he said, what God's will was in the first time after Jonah did all of this nonsense, God's will did not change one iota. I still want you to arise and go to Nineveh. It's like when you have to get a spanking from your parent. Say, didn't I tell you not to do that no more? and you go through this long spanking, and it's all over. They say, now don't do that no more. Because the will of God, it doesn't change for you and I. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if it took it for Peter and Paul and the disciples of old, that same thing is a requirement for us. How many know holiness is right? It's right. And holiness touches every minute area of your life. I woke up this morning at 187. And so I have to personally bring myself under discipline to drive it back down. Listen, if you drive it down at 187, you don't have to deal with 190. And if you can maintain where you're supposed to be, drive it down some more. I just use diet because that's my thing. But even it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a pornography habit, you got to drive that thing down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it all into captivity to Christ. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you so much. You are a loving Father. You're kind and gracious to us. Lord, you speak to us over and over. It's not your will that any should perish. It's not your will that any should come under the hardship of judgment. But God, we ask you today that you would lay right now your convictions upon our hearts and upon our lives. Each one of us has a different area that you're dealing with. Come on, all over the room. If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet if you're able this morning? There's not a one of us here today that the Holy Spirit is not dealing with you about something. And so right now, why don't you just silently, under your breath, just talk to God about that area that God is dealing with you. Saying, God, I don't want to walk in this rebellion any longer. Lord, deal with me. Lay your convictions upon me. Nudge me and encourage me in the Holy Spirit that I move away from these personal rebellions and that I seek you in honesty and in truth. Come on, just cry out to the Lord this morning. He's not angry at any of us. He loves you. He loves you this morning. Just cry.
We pray that as we leave here today, that we have a made-up mind, that we're going to listen to you as you tell us, go here or go there, that we will become more obedient to what you have for us. God, you created us and you made us and you know what's best for us. We don't. Help us to ask, God, please help me be obedient to your will so that when you say go here, we say, Lord, I will go. And when you said, come here, Lord, we will come. Help us, God, in this area, that we will do your will and not our very own. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming out this morning and joining us here at Christ Unveiled. Those of you in-house and those of you who are online, we're glad that you're here with us. If you haven't already had a chance to give, we ask that you would please help us in uplifting and building the kingdom of God. Your money goes a long way all around the world, helping people to watch and learn of God. September the 26th at 7 o'clock is movie night. We will have a movie here. And if you're interested in coming outside, on the table there are two sign-up sheets. One is for coming. If you want to come, sign up on that list. And then there's another list for volunteers. We need people to volunteer, to serve, and to clean up. So if you're interested in any one of those, the sign-up sheets are outside on the table. And Wednesday night, we're our Bible class is on. We'll be starting in the book of Mark. That is October Bible class on Mark, the Gospel of Mark, on October the 1st. At 7 o'clock. And that is all the announcements that I have. You are dismissed.